Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with the K, the number 4, KIDS.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Maybe justifiably so, Aloy doesn't have a stroke yet, but it only needs one at bat to come to him. Like that.
Oh, Aloy Jimenez! Do not walk anyone in front of him! Wow! Welcome back. Hi, Mom. See you later. 5-3.
It's Aloy's night anyway, and you figured he was going to get good pitch to hit. He got a slider up, and I mean, he hit the daylights out of that.
Little flare to left on a changeup. Aloy's up with it, and the throw coming home is right there. That is a wild send. Taylor wasn't even to third when Aloy got the ball, and yes, he hasn't played left field this year, but that's fish in a barrel. 3-1 slider to left field, and Aloy reaches down and he made the catch. Aloy Jimenez, a major play in this game to take away a hit from Taylor.
Short lead by Ortega. Gutierrez to Bryant. And Chris gets hit by the pitch. He got hit in the upper left arm. A fastball. You almost never see Chris Bryant show any anger. But he kind of glared out at the pitcher Gutierrez on that pitch. And now the Cubs have two men on with nobody out, and the batter is Anthony Rizzo. That hit him behind the shoulder in the upper part of the left back area.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Someone's got to get hit, huh? Is that the idea?
Ooh.
He was not too pleased with that. And he usually is the kind of guy that just takes his lumps and moves on. He's not the kind of guy that is looking for trouble or anything else. But that peeved him. And frankly, I don't blame him. I mean, it's hard to take the pitch for somebody else, but that's exactly what happened.
You got to try real hard to put Chris Bryant in a bad mood.
That's true.
He is as pleasant as they come. So that pitch had bad intentions, and I think everybody knew what was going on. You know that Coombs sitting next to Pat wasn't happy. You know that Coombs was calling for some retaliation probably right away, and baseball to settle that score. We'll see what happens next. That's not the way that you want to go about this these things, but you figure that are they even now? It may linger. Garrett pitched an uneventful inning last night, I believe. So maybe that's the end of it. I don't know. But don't like to see Chris Bryant getting hit under any circumstances.
You're supposed to save that for Anthony Rizzo. No, that's a joke.
Well, he'll lean into one.
Yeah, that's what I was just making a joke. NBC Sports Chicago on the highlights of the White Sox game. Our thanks to them. And, of course, the fine folks at WSCR. God, are they givers, not takers. They shared the Cubs highlights, so that is very kind of them. And we owe them a lot. They owe us, too. It's a kind of a mutual type of
collaboration.
Collaboration. There Thank you, David.
Yeah.
The culture. culture. It's the culture of the score that is so it, we so much embrace. Okay, so I was making a joke that Anthony Rizzo, just because, as you say, he leans over the plate, he's always willing to kind of catch one, and it's part of his bag of tricks, if you will. It it is something that he has been doing all along. You know, he crowds the plate, so people throw inside. He gets hit quite a bit. It's not like they're just going after him. There is some responsibility there. But obviously, in this situation, I think you look at what happened the night before and Javi Baez, not just the walk-off single, but the way that he walked down the base, the routine with the bat, and then obviously the bat flip raised the ire of the Reds. Now, I don't know that it is fair to when you got the Hatfields and McCoys, the Baezes and the Garretts, I don't think it's fair to drag Chris Bryant into it. He's not the guy. In fact, if you watch any of these videos, and I saw a ton of them yesterday as everyone was kind of going through the history of Amir Garrett versus Javier Baez, Chris Bryant is often peacemaker in the midst of that, trying to keep people separated, trying to keep things from escalating. That's the kind of guy he is, and yet he's the guy they decided to throw at.
Best
and
player.
I believe they threw
at
him.
Yeah, he's the best player they have, so that's typically the response. So that was the Cubs lose that game. Bryant and Rizzo both homer. It seems as if they are both hot at the same time, which is good news for Jed Hoyer if he's trying to get the most in return, if that matters during the trade deadline. So you figure that we are within days of the trade deadline and seeing what the Cubs – that could happen today. The White Sox, meanwhile, Eloy Jimenez has his night. Mike Matheny pitches around Jose Abreu to get to Eloy, makes him pay. And the focus is on Big Baby coming back, I guess. Do you like that nickname, the Big Baby? I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm embracing that or not. I don't know where that came from, but it seems to be out there. I think we can maybe just kind of wait to see how that fits. But here's the thing about the Sox. Eloy hits a home run, kind of dominates the conversation. We wonder, should he play left field? Does it make him a better hitter because he's mentally into the game? And then when's the last time that we have wondered what they're going to do at the trade deadline? When's the last time we have questioned the aggressiveness of a Rick Hahn? Because you know what, Mully? Those bullpen needs haven't gone away because Eloy is back. And I still think that if Rick Hahn wants to go out and get a second baseman to add some more oomph to that lineup, more power to him.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think they need a second baseman. I think it would be a mistake for them to not address that position. I get it. You know, I wonder if Leury Garcia is a legitimate second baseman. He plays short. We've seen him at third. We've seen him in the outfield. And we've seen him at second. I wonder if that's his worst spot. I saw him, you know, make a couple mistakes, cover the wrong bag, do a couple of kind of mental error type things over the last week and a half. And it just makes me wonder if that's the right idea. I think Danny Mendick can field the position. I also think you don't win a World Series with Danny Mendick as your starter. I don't think he's a starter. I don't think that Leury is a starting second baseman. I think that you can hide a guy like that in the ninth spot in the order if that's what you want to do, if that's what you have concluded. But I think, just wonder if they lose, if something goes wrong and they start falling apart a little bit, if they get into a playoff series and they lose, would that not be like the greatest regret you'd ever had, that you did not try to upgrade that position?
That's what you want to guard against. You have to anticipate that question being asked after your last game of the season, whenever it ends, and you hope it's late October. But don't forget what just happened in Milwaukee, and you don't want to go back there, but you lost two out of three, and that's not the point. The point is you saw three pitchers, three starters of a caliber of which they probably – you're going to see more of it in the playoffs, but I don't know if any team you're going to face are going to have that those kind of 1-2-3 starters in succession. But what makes your lineup most slump-proof against pitchers that good, against October's best? And that may not feel like a real glaring problem priority as we sit here on a Wednesday morning in July after Eloy just, you know, dazzled us with his home run, you know, 459 feet of wow. But I do think you have to look ahead and you have to anticipate, okay, yeah, you feel good about who's batting fourth right now. You feel good about, okay, Luis Robert's coming back, all these things, but you want to have that feeling about every spot in that lineup because potentially you don't know how much you're going to be shut down by a pitcher who's dealing the way the Brewers, you know, were dealing last weekend, and you may run into a hot staff in October.
I think it's a little bit more than that. I think that if Rick Hahn decides to not upgrade the lineup at the trade deadline, I'm going to need written assurance from someone, and I don't know who that would be, but I need a medical staffer to show up here in studio and give me written assurance that Eloy is back for good and there will be no problems at all, that Luis Robert is back for good and there will be no problems at all, that Yasmani Grandal eventually is back and there will be no problems at all. See, I think the problem really kicks in. If you have all those guys, then you can try to hide a guy at the ninth spot. But if one of those guys, if there's any kind of setback, if anything doesn't go according to Hoyle, then what do you do? That's where the regret will kick in monstrously. If you feel like you are good enough to win a World Series, provided everyone's back, it's the provided everyone's back thing that would really make me worry. I'm not saying that it isn't the case and that that's not going to happen. That's the plan, and I'm on board. I really hope that works out. But David, like, if you loaded up, had you done, and I hate to bring this up because you didn't have enough to get Adam Frazier when you look at what was given up for him. You just don't have those prospects, so I get it. But had you added a guy like that, wouldn't you feel like, okay, now we've upgraded a spot.
Without
now
a
you
doubt.
Got an all-star
Without
guy.
Without a doubt. You'd feel like the Padres feel right now.
Right. And I mean, like, I'm not on board with this idea. I don't think it's going to happen. But if you did trade for Trevor Story and moved him to second base, wouldn't you be like, wow, they got a really good player there.
That's a wow moment. Yes. Absolutely. You have to do that. And now,
that covers you for any other problem.
It covers
because,
you against a scenario yes. that I described, against a scenario you described. Both are concerns. Injury and consistency are things that you can't anticipate. And frankly, in the next 48 hours, you're not going to be able to answer that question about injury and health adequately enough to not be aggressive.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's
I don't think that you can count on Luis Robert, speed guy, coming back and staying healthy. I hope so. God, I hope so.
Yeah, I hope
and
so.
And same with Eloy Jimenez. But Grandal, you're talking about a catcher with a knee problem.
Yeah.
And going down the stretch.
Can he use a stool?
I don't think he can use a stool.
Would they let him just sit on a little? I'm going to have this little chair here.
I think it's the knee. That would be fun, but it would not be, you know, that would make him. The Sox would probably still value him over Zach Collins.
Well, Zach Collins is, you know, they got a lot of jump off of a lot of different bats over the course of this season. It's been pretty extraordinary to
tremendous depth.
Yes.
And everybody's stepping forward. But
that only lasts a certain length of
time.
Trevor
Story is a great option. Eduardo Escobar still in play. Whoever it is that can give you more certainty, a feeling of security at second base at a position where you don't have it, go seek it because I think that's still important.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm all for it. And I mean, look, feel free to add a couple of relievers. You know, you want to add one reliever? Okay, why don't you do two? Why don't you just go overboard? Let's try the overkill.
Well, in football, you can never have enough cornerbacks. In baseball, can never have enough good relievers. There are some adages that are true, and in baseball, that's one of them, especially at the trade deadline as you seek to supplement your staff with arms that you can find. You know, it may be two. Okay, you have to face three hitters, but that may be all you want from some guys. The specialized roles that these guys play as you head down the stretch, you want to start to get them more defined and have guys comfortable in them.
I got the three words for you. It's like, you know, the equivalent of location, location, location has got to be, in Rick Hahn's mind, upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. It's got to be upgrades. You don't just add people to add somebody or this guy can do. This is something we need. This guy's going to help us win. this is how you get better. And unfortunately, there are going to be harsh decisions to make already on the roster. There are guys that have been a big part of it that have helped you get through this period of time, but you're going to have to make some harsh calls, and you're going to have to move on from some people that maybe it's unfair because of their contribution, and maybe they want to go down to the minor leagues and retire, but the fact of the matter is you got to be able to move on.
And this came to me yesterday. I was thinking about how important the bullpen situation was for the White Sox and Rick Hahn at the trade deadline when I saw the latest rumor, frankly, about Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant to the Rays made me think, okay, wait a second. First of all, that's good for the Cubs because the Rays tend to have good prospects that develop well, and you think that would be a promising thing for the Cubs. But then I thought about it from the White Sox perspective. If that happens this week, the Rays will have added Nelson Cruz and Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
And you know what you need against those guys, those right-handed power hitters, good hitters down the stretch if you're the White Sox in the playoffs? A good right-handed reliever down in the eighth inning besides Michael Kopech, because he can't pitch everything, besides Liam Hendricks. You need that bridge guy who might be able to get a big out when you need it in a playoff series. So you're right. Supplement this bullpen. Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade.
And David, who needs to make a move more? The Sox trying to win or the Cubs understanding they're losing?
Good question. That's a great debate. 312-644-6767. Because I think you could answer it both ways and not be wrong.
Right.
Both teams could have a justifiable stake to say, this means more to us than it has been in previous years. And the Sox could say because they're about to win, and the Cubs because they have so many guys they have to get rid of.
All right, we're going to get to the pick six. We'll come back with your calls. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What if he goes out and just crushes it? Is there anything?
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
How would you describe Matt Nagy's openness to starting Justin Fields in week one on the first day of training camp, and was the tone any different than previous answers?
I would describe it as awesome. And I think that the tone was very energetic. I think it's understandable. You're at the start of training camp. You're at the start of a new era for Matt Nagy and his offense and Bears football, the Justin Fields era. And it did not surprise me that his tone was as upbeat as it was. I'm sure he is shot out of a cannon, and I'm sure he spent a lot of time putting together playlists and et cetera, trying to make sure that that he had the right music on. No, that he had the right plays called for both of his quarterbacks. He's got to operate it to a purpose here. He's got to prepare Andy Dalton for the first game of the year while preparing Justin Fields for the first game of the rest of his career. So I think that there's a development issue, but there's also the reality of getting things up and running. I hope that Justin Fields is as good, is awesome, and does force their hand and make them make a hard decision. I think he's capable of that, and I think that he's been preparing for that. So here's hoping that that actually happens. But Matt Nagy sounded like a guy that is on the verge of something special.
We can call it openness. I think it's more accurately giddiness, because he absolutely sounded giddy at the prospects of developing a quarterback that there is this sense that he is going to be special. And it's been, you know, a while since we have said that. I think there was that sense with Mitch Trubisky early. Let's not, you know, kid ourselves and have revisionist history here. There was a lot of excitement when Mitch was drafted and developed, and there was the accelerated clock on him. But his rookie season, there wasn't the compatibility with everything. You had a very defensive head coach. You had an offensive coordinator in Loggins that was – there were some, you know, questions about his worthiness, legitimacy, however you want to refer to it. It was different. And certainly Mitch Trubisky came into the league with much less proven, I think, experience than Justin Fields. So there is this giddiness. There is this expectation. And when players start to sound as impressed and as giddy as Matt Nagy sounded yesterday, then you'll know the Bears are coming closer to making a change, or they have one tough decision to make if you're Matt Nagy, because players know, and they'll tell you by not necessarily what they say, but what they don't say.
A pick six to end the half!
You can't just think about it nonstop, because then you go crazy, and then it takes away from what you do on the field. And I've been through that in early on, in 18 and whatever, 19, 20. I let it kind of bubble up in there and kind of pay more attention to it in a negative way. And now it's kind of, for me, it's just taking whatever in stride and saying to my, I can't control any of this. So there's no need to stress about it or worry about it.
What's your reaction to Chris Bryant's comments yesterday about the pressures of trade deadline talk and his willingness to come back to the Cubs even if traded by Friday?
You talk about openness. I really respected the way that Chris Bryant has been transparent about his emotions and very honest about his feelings. There has been a lot of things weighing on his mind. You talk to people around the team or people close to Chris Bryant, and they'll tell you that this has taken a toll mentally on him. I like the way that he addressed he was asked about Simone Biles and yep. The mental toll that the athletes are having to deal with on a regular basis. Chris Bryant can be eloquent. Chris Bryant has a common sense approach to problem solving and dealing with things, even though he's a millionaire, professional baseball player, all-star MVP, all those things. He's very relatable. And I think if these are his last days as a Cub, he will go down to his final days as being as relatable and as likable as any Cub in recent memory. So let's hope that they find a way to keep him, even though that's the low odds on that one. But I do like the way that he has dealt with everything in his path.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary answer, and the Simone Biles stuff was very compelling. Pick up the guitar, play some video games, take your mind off it. That's kind of what I do. Chase the little guy around the house. I have some chocolate cake and ice cream, and that helps. Get 9 hours of sleep, wake up, and have a positive attitude for the next day. That guy's life sounds great to me. I would love to chase the little guy around the house again. You know, he's not willing to be chased around the house. My God, 9 hours of sleep is a dream.
I'd like to know how to play the guitar.
I don't know why.
I took
why.
Lessons way,
really?
Way back in the day for a year, but
God,
you know,
I'm not musical, and it really what a terrible mistake that was in my life to not learn an instrument, to not be forced to play the violin or the piano or something, the guitar, any of it. I could have been it. Look at me. Don't I look like a singer-songwriter? I got a couple ideas right now.
A pick six of 100 yards!
If the White Sox don't make a move before the deadline, relying instead on the return of Eloy, soon Luis Robert, and eventually Yasmani Grandal, do you still believe they can win the World Series? Do they have to make a move to assure that? What percentage of likelihood would you give an impending trade?
You know, I think that they are probably, I want to say 75 to 80% likely to make a trade. I understand there are people that think that they're not going to do it, but I think they've got people out and they're looking at different ideas. I don't know that it's going to be the kind of impact trade that I want, but I think that they are going to make a trade. I think that you will be so full of regret if you don't get everyone back and if you are relying upon something that doesn't come to fruition, and if you get to the final destination and you blow that opportunity, you find that all you needed to do was this or that, and that would have been the difference. And I think other teams are trying to get that done. So it's incumbent upon them. You know, if you're going to win multiple World Series, you better get the first one. So when you're having a year like this, and you've had so many different people contribute and kind of be able to add to it, I think it's extremely important to put it over the top. You know, Walter Payton at the goal line. You got to get up and over. And I hope Rick Hahn can pull it off.
If the Sox don't make a trade before the deadline, I still think it would be difficult to pick against them in the playoffs. I think as is, they still could make the argument they're potentially the best team in the American League. That said, I don't think if you're Rick Hahn, you want to leave that open for discussion. I think you want to make a move that makes it obvious, more obvious, that the Sox are the best team in the American League. And I don't think you want to spend 2 months wondering if you're going to spend the offseason full of regret, full of hearing about what you didn't do to put your team over the top. You don't want to be that guy. Rick Hahn's not that guy. They need a reliever. They need some offensive depth and to fortify the lineup just in case these guys don't come back and stay healthy. You need to slump-proof your lineup a little bit better than it is right now. So I think it's 80-20. That they make a move, maybe not a dramatic move, maybe not as dramatic as what the Cubs are going to do or as drastic of a change, but I do think it's 80-20 that the White Sox do something to improve themselves at the deadline.
Pick six!
Our Bruce Levine reports on 670thescore.com that the White Sox have been scouting and showing interest in Cubs relievers Craig Kimbrell and Ryan Tepera. Who would be the key to any deal if you're the Cubs offering Kimbrell and Tepera? Who is likely less expensive?
I love it when Bruce starts reporting. I love it when he starts to talk about bundling. Remember his reference to American Pickers last Friday? That was fun. I don't think that Ryan Tepera is probably going to get as much in return as Bruce might have suggested in that report. That's pretty steep price to get a starting pitcher in the system for a reliever who is maybe a rental. Craig Kimbrell and Tepera is an exciting possibility, but I do think that get two closers is that dynamic to consider. And also, I think the Cubs might be able to get more from another team who wants Craig Kimbrell and needs him more, because Craig Kimbrell is needed by other teams. The Sox may want him. Other teams may need him. So maybe Tepera makes the most sense. You need a companion right-hander to Michael Kopech in the bullpen, and maybe Kimbrell goes to another team. But I don't know if there's a Cub tax involved as well, because when you do crosstown deals at the deadline, it gets a little bit more complicated.
I am not giving up Jimmy Lambert for Ryan Tepera. That is a terrible idea in my world. That guy, Jimmy Lambert's going to be a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball for a what did they DFA and what did they do with him? They didn't even want him back last year, the Cubs, and they're going to get Jimmy Lambert for that guy? No way. Go find somebody else. That's too high a price to pay. I think the American Pickers, I've watched that show. You're still looking through a junkyard, aren't you? I get it. I know a little something about motorcycles, so I want to get that piece and I can fix this and I'll do that. It doesn't appeal to me. Get something shiny, bright, and new and unburnished.
Can you believe this? Pick six.
Are the Blackhawks accelerating the timeline of their rebuild with the acquisition of goalie Marc-Andre Fleury, or are they spitting into the wind by acquiring a player with no intention of ever playing for them? How could the Las Vegas Golden Knights not even inform a popular player he's being traded and allow him to find out via social media?
That's shameful, okay? That is shameful treatment of a player, and the players should remember that and act accordingly. That is just an awful look for any organization to treat a guy, a great servant to the team, in that fashion. A very popular player, by the way. I have no idea what the Blackhawks are up to. I am utterly confounded. Have they decided to that they got to win now? That they're going to try to win the another Stanley Cup this year? And do they have what it takes to do that? It just seems like every move they're making is designed to win in the right now, when everything they were doing was designed to try to rebuild the team and kind of thread the needle, so to speak. So they've changed gears here. I don't get it at all. And if Marc-Andre Fleury does not want to play for the Blackhawks, what are you doing trading for him? Don't you have to be in touch with him? The guy has threatened to retire already. This can't sneak up on you.
$7 million goalie, and then later in the day you trade for a 31-year-old forward, Ryan Johnson from the Tyler Johnson from the Lightning, who is a very good player, bottom six forward. You'll remember him from 2015 when he played a bigger role on that team. But what are you doing? You take on $5 million in salary. The Hawks have gone from this offseason from disappointing and angering me to confusing me. I don't know what they're doing off the ice, and now I'm not quite sure what they're doing on the ice. They trade Duncan Keith. They get Seth Jones. All right. Is that all right? You're getting younger, but now you're going out and getting a goaltender that's threatening retirement, and now you're getting Tyler Johnson, a 31-year-old bottom six, instead of making a qualifying offer to Pew Suter, who is cheaper and younger and fits into what you're doing. Are the Hawks rebuilding? What are the Hawks doing? Do we get a chance to ask Stan Bowman reasonable questions and he's not going to say something in the form of a statement? I just think they're doing a nice job of one thing, and that's changing the subject.
That is a pick six!
How do you feel about Simone Biles pulling out of the women's gymnastic team final at the Tokyo Olympics, and now the individual competition as well? Do you hail it as an act of courage or mourn that the women finished second without her?
Well, I don't get so much caught up in the mourning the second place finish. I think that this is about Simone Biles' legacy, and it's people want to make it complicated, and I understand that, but I'm not here for criticism. I think that we live in a different day and age, and the fact that she is as open and courageous in talking about preserving her mental health, it's not that much different than if she's withdrawing because of a hamstring injury or something that's, you know, it doesn't just have to be a physical problem to be something big enough to step away from competition. This is where we are as a society, and this is where we need to go, is talking about these things openly. Mental health is an issue. Anxiety is something that's not to be taken lightly. It's not just, you know, grin and bear it. It's not one of these things that you can have these expectations anymore. So she, at one point, last Olympics, she's the greatest gymnast ever. She made us gasp. Now she's making us talk, in both cases, very important stuff. I don't think it harms her legacy. I'm not going to say it enhances it. More medals would have done that, but it's certainly, I have a lot of respect for what she did. It could not have been easy to be as open and honest as she was at this stage.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. I'm not going to pretend that I do. I think that a lot of us get starry-eyed about, you know, USA, USA. And I just want to see gold and gold and bring me more gold. It reminds you to back away from those ideas. It reminds you, you know, this woman is a survivor. She has been through a lot in her life, and she has been through some horrific stuff in her life, dealing with some of the scandal with American Gymnastics, being an assault victim. I think that's really awful stuff. And I don't know that I hail it as courage, or I mourn it as a lost opportunity. I just think that she's a human being, and she's got my support. That's all I can say about it. All right, we're going to bring in Big Z next, and we'll have a little Bigs time on Mully and Haw.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Brand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And Brad Biggs joins us on the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Hey, what's going on, boys? Good morning.
Well, you tell us, Brad. You were out there. You were asking the relevant questions. You were seeing the setup for the big show. Obviously, rehearsal before opening curtain, but a different vibe, a different feeling. A lot of happy, joy connected to the Bears these days.
Yeah, you know, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy spoke for about 35 minutes yesterday. It's always optimism when any team has its leadership come out and chat at the beginning of the summer. You always get that that sense from them, but they believe they've got the roster in a position now where there's more competition than ever before, at least since Nagy was here. They feel really good about that quotient. They like the quarterback setup. As you guys know, and we've talked about it all offseason, they feel like they're going to be significantly better at the quarterback position, and that will make them better at these other positions. I think some of us have taken a, you know, we're gonna believe it when we see it type attitude, but you know, a lot of positive chatter. Yesterday at House Hall, Eddie Goldman was indeed there. So we'll see what they look like on the field today. Should be a practice on the shorter side today as they get ramped up. And I know both those guys are pretty pumped up for fans to be back at training camp, which will happen for the first time tomorrow.
Brad, as a dyed-in-the-wool football guy, how do you feel about the Bears pivoting to use a basketball mantra and Matt Nagy replacing BU with B Giannis?
Yeah, that was he actually didn't say B Giannis, but okay. That's the kind of the conclusion I drew. just kind of looking for a message to send to his team, and Nagy wants to stay in the present, in the now, because he doesn't want 16 questions a day about week five and the possibility of Justin Fields being the starter then, or what will happen if Justin Fields does this over the next 4 weeks, or you know what I'm saying? So, and that can probably wear on the guy at some point. So, but more than that, he wants his players to stay in the present because that's all they can control. And this is a team that whatever messaging they've delivered the last 2 years has been 500 messaging, right? They've been a 500 football team. So trying out something new certainly makes sense to me. And you can't go wrong following a little Giannis, can you?
No.
Well, I mean, he's awful tall for football. Brad, when you when you listen to him talk about Elijah Wilkinson competing with Tevin Jenkins, you know, obviously we talked before about this idea that no one on the roster has any reps at left tackle at the professional level. So you look at that. Is that just a kind of fail-safe type thing? Is that just someone has to compete, or is that a legitimate battle for a job?
Me personally, I think that's they've got to have someone out there to compete with Tevin Jenkins. This to me looks like a little bit of a loaded competition. If Tevin Jenkins can't win this one, oh boy, they've got a pretty big problem. And I don't know Now, I'm not as sold on this heightened level of competition that they have across the roster as maybe some people are. Yes, they do have competition at the quarterback position now, and that's a very good thing. And they've got competition in maybe a couple other spots. But I look at the cornerback situation. Ryan Pace talked about the sky is the limit for Kendall Vildor, who we saw on the field for about 115 snaps a year ago as a rookie. And he's got a chance to potentially battle Desmond Trufant for a starting cornerback job. Trufant struggled to stay on the field last year in Detroit with multiple hamstring injuries, missed about half the season the year before in Atlanta with injuries. So you got Vildor and Trufant. That's nice. I'd rather have Kyle Fuller, I think, and I'm pretty sure most people would agree with me. So do you want this cooked up competition between these two guys, or would you rather have Kyle Fuller? And obviously the ship sailed on Kyle Fuller. So we'll have to see where that goes. But, you know, it's not like they've got positions here where you're going to have these, like, clear-cut battle for a starting job. There's really not a whole lot of that going on.
Brad, I thought details were vague about two key questions that were asked. One that you asked directly about the whether or not the contract status of both Nagy and Ryan Pace would affect the timing with Justin Fields. I didn't expect to get an answer there. But I also thought it was vague in terms of when Ryan Pace was asked about the vaccination rate and kind of sort of maybe 85%. Should a general manager know specifically and exactly where his team is on the eve of training camp?
Well, the only thing I'd say that would give Pace reason to not have a specific number is that players were actually reporting as those guys were talking yesterday. They were rolling into the parking lot over a period of a couple hours on Tuesday in Lake Forest. And so they've been away for a couple weeks. They've been in contact with the team, but you could have guys, you know, pulling up saying, yeah, my second vaccination was, you know, pick a date, July 16th, July 13th or something, and have their card to show team personnel. So I think that number was probably going to be adjusted by the end of the night yesterday based on information they got from players coming in. I don't know that the 85% really means anything in the NFL. I think that's a baseball figure that's kind of used, but certainly that would put the Bears ahead of many teams throughout the NFL if they are right at or slightly above that figure. And it's just going to, I mean, the rules that the league's come up with and the NFLPA has agreed to, it's just going to make it really difficult for guys that choose not to be vaccinated to have some type of normalcy. I think the unvaccinated players, you're going to know who they are based on what I saw last night during games. They're going to have to mask up when they're on the sideline.
Brad, I thought it was unbelievably compelling to hear Ron Rivera talk in Washington about the fact that he's upset, frustrated with the Washington football team's vaccination rate, and he hopes that the team realizes he is immune deficient because of his battle with cancer. And, you know, maybe we didn't get that kind of a response, but it is a really important issue, especially when we've seen kind of breakouts among the unvaccinated and the Delta variant and all that stuff. So I thought we would I was expecting more urgency.
Yeah, well, it'll get real urgent, guys, when roster decisions are made and unvaccinated guys have that be one of the primary reasons that they're whacked. Okay, when it comes down to roster cut time, I promise you, if guys are close, I think they're going with the vaccinated player for their own sake. For the sake of the other players, for the sake of attempting to avoid a disruption in the season. I mean, that's going to be a real thing, and that's already been a real thing when you talk to agents who have clients who are on the street right now trying to get jobs, guys. You know, the first question that teams want to know, is your guy vaccinated? And if he's not vaccinated, they just skip him over. They go to the next guy.
That's true. That's reality. Great stuff, Brad.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs.
40-time height, weight, vaccination status.
You know, I know that a lot of people will scoff at that, but when you heard Ron Rivera...
There's nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, there's nothing
to scoff at. It's a reality.
Yes.
It is a reality of employment. It is a reality of society. It is nothing to scoff at all. Ron Rivera was exactly right.
But I didn't hear that from Ryan Pace. It was more just sort of a... It was just kind of, just moving beyond it, right?
Surprisingly casual.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. All right, 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.